Okay, now we're going to get to the superintendent items on the agenda. So I need a motion to approve section 9-1, 9-2, and 9-3 of the superintendent action items, please.
Move. Second.
Okay, moving seconds. Mrs. Mankins, well, let's roll.
HR, as you can see, we have a lot of hires on this time. I will tell you that part of the process is I get to meet with all the recommendations of the principals. So really, they send me a final two candidates. I'm going to tell you that we really have some superstar teachers coming in, very pleased with the talent that is coming in. We also have three administrators here tonight that are on the HR agenda. I think you've each had the opportunity to meet them, but would like to introduce them again. And if you really want to embarrass them, you can like, make them talk or something.
You guys did prepare a speech, right?
5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
IT director, you know, we've kind of been missing that spot for a while and feeling some bumps and bruises, but we are excited for Chris Dice to come on board. We were lucky enough to take him from Olin Kanji. I was going to say steal, but take him. Really, Chris brings a really nice blend of the classroom instruction. He's done the pieces, parts side of it as well, and the IT side, so we're excited to bring him on board. Definite focus on talking about what it is you want to do in your classroom and how technology can aid in that process, that you just don't necessarily want an iPad, but what is it that you're trying to do, and let's get the best equipment to go along with that. So understands the role of strategic planning in that process and how we can be a part of that, and definitely a collaborator, so excited to bring Chris on board as well. Go, Chris.
Yeah. So you excited about getting the district ready for our park assessments this year?
We'll be meeting on that sleep tomorrow. Segue.
Can't sleep.
Jumping up and down, right? We also have with us tonight Craig Lautenschlager. Right? All right. I've been practicing all day. Craig comes to us from Taze Valley. He'll be the principal at Mill Valley. And before that was at River Valley. Definitely instructionally very strong. We're excited to bring him on, focus on RTI, using data to move teachers. Very collaborative and definitely relationship-oriented, I think, which we all recognize is very important for both of our buildings, but definitely with someone who's opened the building, leaving, we need a person skilled in that role of building relationships, and Craig definitely brings that to the table, so we're excited to bring Craig on board. And also, last but not least, Jonathan Langhouse. And the interesting part about this is Jonathan and Craig worked together in a former district. So they're reunited, I guess. Jonathan, when I called Dr. Good at Westerville, I had a lengthy conversation about Jonathan. And he said, Diane, I have to be honest with you. He said, I'm retiring, so I have nothing to lose here. But 80 administrators in my district, and you're taking one of the top five. So I think that speaks very highly for Jonathan, and definitely has led a building that was struggling and turned them around to be excellent with distinction, work with wide, diverse population of students, collaborator, relationship builder. So he will be at Edgewood for us next year. Excited to bring both of them on board.
Very good. Welcome to all of us.
Okay. Is that the big? As you move down, you'll also see that two teachers are being recalled from the layoff list, and also two classified employees. So excited to bring them back. You can also see retirements. Carla has turned in her letter of resignation, certainly built a legacy around Literacy Collaborative in our district, and excited for, I think she has some opportunities with Ohio State on her horizon as well, so definitely thank her for her time and service. And I should also mention, you know, at last meeting I could not get my attachments to pull up, and I neglected to talk a whole lot about Greg Casto, but definitely spent a very long time in our district, I think close to 30 years, servicing the kids of Marysville. So I wanted to hit on that tonight as well. Let's see, I think everything else is pretty standard in that area. Good with all that?
Mm-hmm. Is there any questions on the rest of the HR?
No. Okay, high school handbook. We did make a revision to correct the appropriate people on the Board of Education in the right position in that, so I think that should be taken care of as well.
It's big details. It's all about details.
All right. And then we have several items. The waiver days are on the next portion. They were already embedded in our calendar that we put out earlier in the year. It just took a while for the State Department to issue their application, I guess, for waiver days. So that is on that section. OTES as well, policy we have on there that we've talked about. We've been very... And this was in place before Andy and I even walked in the door, collaborative in that process with the pilot program already in existence. Worked really well in some buildings this year. In other buildings, we still have some work to do. But Juliet definitely has her thumb on that, and we'll be moving forward. But it's been a very collaborative process that worked well. Let's see. Adoption of new textbooks. I apologize. I did not realize that in typical years it's been a 2-month. It's definitely been a lengthy process for us. Sean is here. I asked him to come. He was a teacher involved in the process as a department, or well, as a coach for us next year. Sean, do you want to talk a little bit about the process? I also kind of put a packet together for you outlining some of the rubrics we looked at and making decisions. I know I kind of gave you kind of that big overall look at what we did.
Yes.
I thought maybe if you had specific questions for Sean, he could answer those. But in essence, our central committee, led more so by Andy than myself, but Andy and I were part of that committee with department heads and coaches. Then they worked within the buildings to get kind of a top two, if you will. We came back, built consensus around the top two, looked at those top two and said, okay, now OAA is over. Let's play around with those two and see which ones work best for teachers, which ones work best for kids, and where we're trying to go and looking at all those different factors. So as a result of that, they came back with kind of some buildings were split, so we had to give some consensus building and come up with final results for that.
You know, I would only add to it that it was a very collaborative process to include principals, coaches, department chairs, teachers, and once we, each building, got it down to two series, we really wanted the teachers to not only in practice, but in theory, have had an opportunity to use these with kids and see how student learning was impacted. And so that was really important in the process. And once we got it down to two, that was really able to occur. And then we were, and the teachers really drove this, I will say, in collaboration with the principals. And then the charge was, in the final meeting that took place at the end of May, was to select one and be able to defend why it is this one was the best for kids, this community, and the staff. And certainly Sean was very much a part of that. We also had criteria for evaluation that I included in this packet. I feel good that it was a very inclusive and thorough process.
Just where we started with all of this was the shift to the Common Core, and it is such a different shift instructionally for teachers that we all kind of said, you know, we need something. We need to bring our materials into where we're at with this new system with two things. The math practices, the higher level thinking questions, the inquiry-based learning that's so part of PARC that we've talked about a little bit, and the rigor. Our current materials just will not meet the rigorous nature of where Common Core is going. So we look to match, you know, is it going to match the Common Core in both the math practices and how things are taught and in the rigorous nature of it? And that's where we started. That was really our only conversations around those two things.
And the challenge was, to that end, the challenge was we need to get a series that will support that, not for where we are today, but where we want to be 10 years from now, and that we owe that to our kids in order to help ensure their success on these assessments.
So what do we do with the kids that are halfway down the road, 5th, 6th grade, that are, you know, moved through everyday math, and now we've transitioned over to Common Core?
Sure.
Where does that leave those kids who are, you know?
Well, I can tell you this, that, you know, many times people say there are three curriculums. There's the authored curriculum, the taught curriculum, and the third curriculum, which is most important, is the learned curriculum. And so I can tell you with 100% confidence that next year, at the end of the year, the curriculum that will be learned will be fully aligned to the Common Core. I unfortunately am not good enough to be retroactive in terms of students learning 5 years past. However, give me 5 more years and I'll be there.
Okay, all right, that's it. Fair enough.
Can I just say too, and I think you guys have heard in past presentations, things like number talks. So those types of things, I feel like teachers were already beginning to make that shift. So I do feel like you're right. It's still going to be a shift, and kids are still going to need to have that support. But I do feel like teachers were aware of things that needed to occur and were beginning to lay those foundations.
Well, it sounds to me like you were already supplementing the current curriculum. Or, yeah, I shouldn't use curriculum. I was told not to use curriculum and textbooks in the same vernacular. So to make
resources.
Sure that that's
how
right.
So
they're supplementing your resources anyways on top of what we already had, and that aligns with some of that, correct?
I can only speak to elementary, but that's absolutely.
Okay. K-1-2 in particular has already been making those shifts as you walk through the classrooms and see some of those things happening. The number talks, I think we talked about that at another board meeting, and so on that end, and the other levels as well, just trying to balance, you know, the OAA demand with still understanding where we have to go. So I know two at the middle school, they, in their words, kind of played around with project-based learning in that last May period. So they tried to lay out curriculum maps and see overlap and see how they could do some integrative projects to help, you know, start making some transition time and work together and collaborate to do that. So you may have
said this, but I missed it. When did you actually start this process, and when did those books actually get into the classroom using?
Honestly, especially in high school, we started early, like September. We knew we needed something. We if it was going to be some sort of full adoption, or we needed help. So we went to those textbook series early. We've had those materials in our workroom all year, and we've had teachers implementing them on an informal basis all year, just because we need the supplemental stuff that, like, the elementary school have been doing for years. So we knew that for our Algebra 1 kids that are going to eventually have to pass an Algebra 2 Park assessment, we know that our Algebra 1 series is not going to get them to Algebra 2. Right. So we started early. We started this year trying to bolster that a little bit, so we were a little bit more prepared for that. I would say formally, somewhere late March, early April, we started meeting in kind of committees and talking about it. The high school's kind of, we were kind of ahead of the schedule on that a little bit, but we've been trying to chase the rabbit a little bit early.
I got to ask. I apologize for hogging the questions, but I'm gonna hog one more, and then I got to tell you, this is a very lengthy and collaborative process. Is this the way that typically textbooks have been selected in this district? Because this process looks very unfamiliar to me in selecting textbooks. So,
no, I would say yes. That's the process. Probably when we should.
I'm sorry. No or yes?
Yes, it has been.
Okay.
I think it's just been quite a few years, because we've had everyday math for a number of years. And when we switched last year, I believe, or year before, to the Common Core, the Common Core version of everyday math we really probably didn't go to this, it was not this extensive.
Actually, I was kind of opening that up, not just math, I'm just saying any text, but I mean, is this and the same process we use for everything, or?
We just haven't adopted.
My understanding, it's been quite some time since, I think, English language arts, I was told it might be 13 years.
12 years ago was when I asked
So maybe nobody remembers.
Okay, I guess. I mean, I think it's a great process. It sounds like, you know, it's you know, you get a chance to test drive it, to be honest with you, make sure it fits into what you're doing. So I will be quiet now and let the rest of the board ask questions away.
I was going to ask, with this being more rigorous, do you anticipate having more difficulty with some kids falling behind a little bit?
I mean, I would say that our work as coaches, the math coaches that are the three at the elementary school and then myself, is to ensure that that doesn't happen. Increase accountability with assessments and looking at this data and knowing where our kids are at. I think that's the whole issue with Common Core is, you know, what's going to happen to some of our grades?
Right.
You know, what is all that going to look like? The Algebra 1 class is going to look different. So an A is going to look different. So there might be a smaller percentage of kids that get A's and smaller percentage of kids that get B's, and I think we have to look at that. I think that's something we're going to be proactive with and look at that data up front. And we have people in those chairs that can do that, you know, not and teach, you know, six periods a day. So I think we'll be
so you are
actively,
you're just, oh, you're
absolutely
prepared.
Is that going to require more intervention then?
I would say as far as like classroom interventions,
yeah.
Like as far as me as a teacher, not as far as like
additional resources.
Yeah, absolutely. Me giving my kids formative assessments, short cycled, and then me myself as the educator intervening, yes. Changing up, that's the practice thing that I was kind of alluding at. That's one of the changes there.
Yes.
And those are things that I would say in the elementary we've already been doing. So that practice is already, I think, in place. The one thing that we did look at, I'm sorry, I came up. Mind me behind the curtain. But the Envisions, I know that was one thing that they really wanted to take a look at, is does it have differentiation, you know, materials that the teachers can use. So there are materials for our at-risk, and then there are also things for our gifted, you know, for our higher achieving students. So that was definitely one of the criteria that they needed or that they looked for when they were looking at a series.
K-12, all of the things we adopted, all provide leveled things that are web-based that the teachers can go grab very quickly. And they provide the assessments that lead into those. So in the Pearson stuff for the high school, right in there is end of the lesson, 4 or 5 questions. If you got a 0, 1, or 2, you're struggling, this is what you need, already developed for the teachers. So that's what I've been developing as a teacher and spending eons on. Now I can do spending time other places with that. So that is completely embedded in these programs.
So you don't have high school books because the floors are being...
I actually have. I'm sorry. I stuck up.
Uh-oh. We're not going to have a mad janitor coming down here.
I turned out my shoes.
Your footprints are in the wax.
Yeah.
I got the A-okay tonight, so yeah. I do have textbooks.
Tracy, you had a question.
I did. So... For the kids who are at the elementary level, who may be struggling with math currently, do you think this will be a better tool?
You know what? I don't know if better. I mean, I think it's going to meet the needs of the current curriculum better. So, yes, I haven't actually gotten in and played with it as far as teaching lessons and things like that I know from what I hear from my teachers. Yes, it's going to offer more resources, more tools. I think in addition to that, the coaching support that I think we're going to be able to use, I think will also help teachers, you know, meet those needs a little bit better. If that helps. I've talked around it. But.
I just had one last question. And this question actually came from Tracy, but she didn't remember asking it, so I'm going to ask it for her. When you looked at this, did you give it a K-12? Because I see there's different publishers on here.
Right.
So how does that flow all the way through from K-12? And was there an eye on that when we did it?
Yes. So, yes, to answer your question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes and no, Jeff. So K-6 is a Pearson product.
Right.
9-12 is a Pearson product. 7-8 is not. It's a whole Reinhardt product. And this was a topic of discussion about which there was a lot of debate, quite frankly, and questioning. Like, you know, help me understand why this is a better product than perhaps a Pearson product. We could be unified K-12. The middle school math teachers felt very, 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 very strongly about the whole Mifflin product and the transition between existing and where we want to go. Not in terms of alignment, but in terms of what Tracy was asking about and then what Sean articulated in this, that, you know, the Common Core shift is 50% about alignment. In other words, what's going to be taught when, and the rigor is far greater. Higher content standards pushed down to earlier grades. But it's equal parts, or 50% also, about instructional strategies. In other words, this notion of meeting every single kid where they are, and our job is to grow each kid as far as we can in that year, as opposed to more traditional thinking of, here's the bar, now I'm going to teach to you, and some of you will get over the bar and others of you won't. And if you don't, I'm moving on to the next chapter. So the Common Core, philosophically, is 50% about instruction, which addresses this notion of our job as the classroom teacher is to meet every child where they are and grow them and scaffold their instruction through formative assessment, targeted intervention in the classrooms through differentiated instruction and assessment. And so it's a So this textbook, it's a long-winded answer. The textbook at the middle school, while aligned, is a stopgap to what I would bet. It's very much aligned instructionally as well. It's just not as off the cliff, so to speak.
I guess so. My question is there going to be a problem transitioning from the middle school to the high school or from the Creek View?
I'm going to let Sean take that.
I can speak to that because a concern of mine was to make sure that that middle school product was that Pearson is known for their rigor. I mean, they are absolutely known for their rigor. The reason why we first sought after Pearson, to be completely honest, is they do a lot of the higher ed books under their umbrella, especially at Ohio State. So that's why we kind of went down the Pearson road. Mm-hmm. So we had high school teachers looking at it. We were trying to make sure it met it. The other thing that's going to happen in the middle school that might not be reflected in that is the middle school kids that are taking Algebra 1 and Geometry will be using the Pearson stuff the same thing as the high school kids. So as far as the Algebra 1 kids at the middle school, they'll be using the same stuff as the Algebra 1 kids at the high school. And that is reflected in the numbers of the purchasing and all that. We definitely looked at that. We talked to those middle school teachers. We gave it to our Algebra 1, the 8th grade material to your Algebra 1 teachers and said, you know, if the kids can walk away doing this, will it meet the needs? And we thought yes.
I think also importantly, the middle school teachers, or any teacher, needs to feel vested and empowered and have ownership. And I don't necessarily like that word, but feel comfortable with the textbook that they're using. And I can say with 100% degree confidence that Bunsell math teachers strongly advocated for this math textbook. And I think that is important to mention.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, where the rubber meets the road is in that classroom with that teacher.
They felt that adoption was a nice blend of envision, but also looking at the rigor the high school was going to demand, was my understanding, that it somewhat it was project-based, but it still had a little bit of traditional sense to it, so it would lend itself to transitioning into the high school.
So did they look at what the kids from K to 6 were going to know when they received them, like that curriculum textbook?
I would say as far as vertical adoption, we spent a lot more time on middle school to high school.
But there wasn't a concern.
The 6th grade Envision product is so quality that they weren't concerned about the kids they were going to get weren't going to meet the needs. And again, as we talk about this, the curriculum versus textbook thing, in the middle school, I have to say it 1,000 times, you know, it's the standards, It's the textbook is a way to get at the standards. It's resources for the teachers to get there. The middle school text so hit those teachers where they were at with middle school kids. They kept talking about how it really was so age appropriate, and they thought that some of the products that they looked at were kind of just an extension of elementary school kind of philosophies, or they brought down the high school philosophies. They didn't feel like it really met in where they were. This 7-8 program is really only, this big ideas textbook is only 7-8. It is a targeted middle school thing that they really felt met the kids. It was a holistic kind of choice, I think.
So coming from the K-6 to there, to the high school, it's not going to be a different, it's going to flow.
It should.
I mean, we anticipate that it will, yes. It is something we talked about, and we talked about in question, and we felt strongly that it would.
So do they think that this will be better than what they currently are receiving as 7th graders, or the same?
Yeah, so my interaction was with the coaches, the principals, primarily the math department chairs, that participated in, that brought the information back. And in essence, it was their charge to present why it is that this was their selection and the rationale behind it, and represent their staffs. And I would say to you that there was great excitement about this purchase for the kids and for themselves, and great excitement around how this, as a resource, could help maximize student learning.
Any other questions?
Are we doing, are we looking to adopt for like language arts anytime?
What we'd like to do is this summer work on a cycle so people have an anticipation of when they need to get materials. So as a part of that cycle, really to do this well, you should spend a year, much like the high school math department did, looking at different options, weaning down to a couple, playing with things as they come across. So what we'd like to do is create a 5-7 year cycle so that people, 1 year would be math, 1 year would be language arts, and that would help with budgeting side on PI money as well. So that's going to be part of our summer work, since we kind of got over this hump this year, is to actually lay out a cycle in which we would come and show you. And really that, it's much better when you give the opportunity for that PD the whole year, and right. instead of handing it to them in August and say, here you go, right?
Right.
So that's what we're looking to do.
I would say, you know, in the past we talked about having the books out in advance. I think just being able to talk through it like we did today was very helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I know curriculum's not really our role, but right. but I appreciate you allowing us to understand how that process works.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big investment on our part, and knowing how we got there, and really, you know, understanding that it's going to work for us. You know, those dollars in the classroom are going to work. It's really, thank you. I mean, I think we have a far better understanding of how that process works.
And I appreciate all the work you guys did. It's pretty impressive. Yeah.
No doubt.
We also know too that there will be professional development for the teachers. The reps are going to come back for them in August to kind of talk to the teachers and get them, you know, to feel even more comfortable. Even though they've looked at it or had the opportunity to look at it, we also know that they will need some, just to know, you know, maybe more bells and whistles or things like that in terms of the program. So that also will be coming up in August. So we're excited about that.
Is there like technology linked to these textbooks too? Yes. Digital, right. text, whatever. Right. Okay. I know. Yes, I saw.
Just kind of linked that.
Right.
We negotiated with Pearson as a part of the, not something we paid for, but as if we went with you, 12 projectors and some iPads.
Great.
So they kind of put that in because so much of their stuff is digital. We literally said to them, we can't go with this and use this without the projectors. Right. So they put that in as a bonus.
Right. Great. When are we going to start shifting to, I guess, now we're talking about textbooks, when are we going to start shifting to those more electronic books and less paper books?
Well, we just got a new IT director, so we've got a strategic plan.
That's right. Give him a chance.
And in that direction. We'll get there.
Well, and one
remember
thing
those hands
say,
pushing like this.
The one thing also they I was sitting in on all these meetings about this and talking about the budget and all, because of the fact that we were able to lower what we had to transfer out for our bonds and right. doing what we've done in the last year for our bonds, mm-hmm. we were able to purchase it this year so that we could get everything here for them early enough that they'll have it for the sometime this summer. Yeah.
So what do you anticipate the cost to be for what you're going to need to order?
Well over $500,000.
Yeah. Because they're like $85.
Yeah, they're 82, 83, 85.
Right. So do all of, does each grade have like a parent fee to pay for kids to get on? Or is that just K-6 or... Because I saw that was in digital, it was like $10 and something per
right,
student.
Right, that's the, what's the word?
Workbook?
Consumable
the workbook
fee.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
There's a fee in there that will, if there's a code for a parent, it follows them K through 6, and it's one fee for K-3 and another fee for if it's, you know, if you mm-hmm. start third grade on. So there is a fee that, and so you'll have that one fee. And we split it out amongst all the years is what they're going to do, so that you can get on and get into that parent program.
But so, but that's just K-6.
I don't know if there's. I don't think there's 1-7-12.
There is a parent. There is parent access and online. There's student access to the online textbook.
Yeah.
It's not as formal as the elementary school.
Yeah.
But it's a little different. But there is online access.
Does it require a fee also?
No, it's part of their adoption. And actually, through Pearson, you can buy the iPad version for $15. So if a parent, you know, it's kind of, if they wanted to have that on their iPad, it is available.
Is that an exact copy of the hardback?
It is. They won't sell them to you, though. You can't just, if you want to buy...
His brain's good.
Yeah.
But we try to go, I mean...
I was just curious. You know, right. you see, $15 and $80, that's even better.
That's just for that. That doesn't give you any of the support material.
Right, okay, I got you.
Right.
Okay.
It's just like renting the book, or you're like, do you get it forever? If you had the book on the iPad.
I'm not 1,000% sure, but it's an iTunes purchase. I believe anybody could just go out and purchase it. It's just out there for iTunes. You don't get any of their support or their extras and bells and whistles. It's just scans of the book.
Right. So. And you don't get any updates or anything, right? You get that, whatever the current version
exactly.
is, right?
Now, they're going to provide workbooks for every level, every age group?
There's not like a physical workbook, but what there is teachers will all have access points to like all these like things you see. That is all online. Like all those books and stuff, there's assessments and worksheets, and there's a lot. I mean, it would fill up an entire room of stuff that teachers can go and pull and print off, and if they need, you know, whatever they need for some of those differentiated resources we were talking about, all online.
Very cool.
Sounds great.
That's very cool. Okay.
Thank you
very much. Really, thank you. I appreciate that conversation.
Right. I saw that on the QuickView one.
Yes.
So, so that's why the grade schools will all have K-6. They'll have workbook online.
Yes.
That's part of their fees, right?
Right. That's part of
their
fees. Okay. Moving on down the list. Thank you guys for talking about this. Well, I appreciate it. Again, and of course, exams, I think, actually, honestly, Doug shared with us today the High Point exam. This is just saying in the short term, the high school will provide end-of-course exams for those classes in government and American history.
Doug did ask if we had that yet. Did you? I didn't see an answer.
Well, we have. We have our end-of-course exams.
Oh, we do have it already?
Is there an opportunity?
Sure, I can forward them to you. They're,
we promise not to send it out.
Than what you,
what's that?
So yeah. They're not too much different.
Oh, really? Oh.
But I can forward those to you. A bid to purchase new school buses for next year. Two, I believe, right? Conventional buses. School fees are on for Creekview and the elementaries. Again, we have donations for technology equipment through Creekview.
Can we go back to the Creekview fees? Can you tell me why they're less this year than last year?
There was something that they didn't need anymore because of some of the changes, if I remember right.
Maybe the Envision fee is
cheaper
than the
Envision fee is less than
the everyday math workbook.
Everyday
fee.
Math workbook. I do know that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So someone who has the everyday math fee paid. So no wonder you know that. Okay. Thank you.
And then the list of volunteers. Again, I think I say it every month. It's amazing that we still add to that list.
It is amazing.
Each time. Mm-hmm. That made it through that list, right? Any questions for me on those?
No.
Items?
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Were there any further questions on the superintendent items?
Not for me.
Okay. Hearing none then, can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers. Yes. Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Oster.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. All right. Lastly, I can't believe we actually made it through this board meeting at 25 after 8. This is got to be a new all-time record. Okay, and just comments and questions from the board members. I will start from my right. Mrs. Powers.
Nope. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Lassner. Ms. Greer?
Welcome to our new administrators. This is our new teachers here.
Okay. Ms. Devine?
I'm just proud of all the work that's being done. I mean, even though it's summertime, there's a lot of stuff going on, and
absolutely.
It's exciting.
Absolutely. Ms. Mankins?
I just want to comment again on people coming back off the recall list. We're still trying to create ways for people to come back off that list. If you remember our music conversation in December and a lot of the heartache associated with that, we've now gone through the entire recall list and have recalled the last
person. That's right. Ms. Schwartz is the last person
on the
music department.
Right. So, just
so how many people total now did we have to riff?
That we've had to riff?
Since that, because we went through 3 music people in like a week, right?
We did. People found it had other positions.
Correct. Or whatnot.
Retired.
But yes.
Right. Retired. I don't have the final list in front of me.
I'm just curious.
So.
I need to make another comment.
It's less than 10 now.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, Ms. Devine.
I just wanted to make a comment about Carla Steele. Going back to that, and again, just kind of wanted to thank her for her time in the district. I know she impacted a lot of families, mine included, my kids, and so we appreciate the work that she did. Okay. And wish her the best.
You know, along with our new staff, some of our staff that's here tonight, you know, they really, and this kind of follows up with what Rich said, you know, we had a very hard year, but I think they did a great job pulling it through. Mm-hmm. And, I think that we're on to bigger and better things, and hopefully we will never address in a situation like that again. And,
amen,
and hopefully we'll keep our young teachers and, and keep building.
And that was my last thing. Just want to continue to celebrate the good scores as we move through that. I'll keep you updated on how they pan out. But it definitely is good news.
Jenny? I guess my last comments would be, I would like to address Carla. You know, if it wasn't for the work she did, she really kind of laid out our literacy collaborative and really, really got that program running in this district. And so I think, you know, as we move forward, you know, looking back, you just want to make sure, you know, we thank her for all the work that she did, certainly. And as we looked at our scores tonight, that's pretty exciting. And I got to tell you, after the year this district had and still have scores like that, it just speaks to the people
education
that we have here. They're just, that's the Marysville way. We just do it because it's got to be done. And I can't thank our folks enough. So, all right. There's nothing further than we need to move into executive session. Can I get a motion to do that?
Second.
Moved and second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes, we are in executive session at 8. third.